Well, amen. Well, thank you for that. That was very good. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. And we are on this journey of covering the greatest sermon given by the greatest preacher ever lived in the Sermon on the Mount. And we are focused on the Beatitudes that we're calling the B series. And so began that 2 weeks ago, and I preached to you the setting and then the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, and talked about humility and be humble. And then Pastor Jonathan, thank the Lord for him, he preached last week on blessed are the mourn and be broken, and talking about being broken over our sin and then being broken over the sins of others. But we live in an interesting day and time, and I don't know, maybe it's always been like this, but just this is the era we live in, and so we're probably hypersensitive to it. But we live in a society of self-promotion and all about me and my and I and focused, and so much so that you know, we had these fancy devices come out. You know, you got the development of the telephone, and then a cell phone came out, and boy, it wasn't enough, so we added a camera. And it got to the point, right, where it was really awkward for people to try to turn the phone around and take that picture of themselves, right, because they couldn't see the screen and make sure you get your duck lips right, all that, right? Anyway, I mean, hey, I think the job, Brother Danny, for photographers has probably gotten easier in the last 5 or 10 years because everybody has their pose down now, right? I mean, they know how to stand, they know how to lean, and it's incredible, right? Because we had to add a second camera to the phone because this was really difficult, and we couldn't get the pose just right, and we couldn't get the everything just the way we wanted. So, man, we added a camera that we've got on this, so, man, we can get that just right. Because, listen, I didn't see anybody's selfie this morning, and I'm not hammering anybody who took a selfie this morning, but we live in a society that has highlighted self-promotion, and we live in a society that the barking dog gets fed first, so if I'm louder, if I'm more flamboyant, if I'm more self-asserting, I get the media attention. Think about it in sports. Who are the guys that we cover? The ones that talk the loudest and the most often, that act the most outlandish. It's interesting, Sister Sharon saying the Untitled Hymn by Chris Rice, and about 7 or 8 years ago, he came out with an album, and he wrote a song about the political nature of our country, and talked about that the basic idea was we're better than this. And that it's just these people arguing back and forth. And he's got one line in it that I love, that he says, just because you're louder doesn't make you right. But we live in a society that the loudest, most self-asserting people get the most attention. Church family, I need to submit to you. We've got to guard against that very culture, that attitude, that sentiment in our own life, but hear me clearly, in the life of our church. Because it is absolutely diabolically opposed to the kingdom of God. So this morning, for Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, if you have found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you are able? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace and mercy. And Lord, I pray this morning you would empty me of everything of myself. Fill me with your Spirit, God. I pray you give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. You take the Word of God and pierce to the asunder of our soul and help our yes be on the table. Help our will to be obedient and respond to whatever it is you have for us this morning. I pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So we've gone through the blessed are the poor in spirit, and we titled that be humble, and blessed are those that mourn, and we titled that be broken. And now verse 5, blessed are the meek. You would think I would title it something other than be meek. But in reality, when you begin to study this idea, this concept, and this original root Greek term, Aristotle thought it was one of the most difficult terms to translate into English. Because there is so much that is wrapped up in this term. And so as we read the particular beatitude this morning, the main idea, if you're taking notes this morning, is that God uses the meek to advance His kingdom. God uses the meek to advance His kingdom. And the big question, the question of the text this morning, is that do you see yourself as having any rights? We're going to unpack this as we go throughout that, but do you see yourself as having any rights, anything that you lay claim to as an individual? We're going to fuller unpack that. But first, we've got to understand, what does this term meek? And so you don't have this in your notes, and you may want to jot a couple of these ideas down. Barclay, based on Aristotle, the way he defined it, and I won't draw it out the way that he did, but basically Barclay said one way that we could have written this beatitude is this: blessed is the man who is always angry at the right time, but never angry at the wrong time. Blessed is the man who is angry at the right time, but never angry at the wrong time. And so here, church family, here's the picture. Jesus is on the hillside. Remember, He has called His disciples to Him. But don't forget, the multitude are in the background. They're the fuzzy part of the picture that's taken. They're listening in, and He's teaching His disciples. And He says, blessed are the broken, or the poor in spirit, and then blessed are they that mourn. And here's the idea that these each of these Beatitudes, what's beautiful about this, they build one upon another. And really, if we had the time and intentionality to do it, it'd be best to preach through all of these at one time so we could see how they build and build and build. But to be meek has this idea of humility within it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And we talked about the being humble, understanding that I have nothing good in and of myself to offer God. Anything good that is in me or from me is from God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But then it goes further than that. It's not just being humble. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are those that are broken over their sinfulness. Blessed are those who see the depravity and the wickedness of their heart, and they're broken over that. And so it's this idea of humility, it's this idea of brokenness, broken over their sin, but then as you're broken over your sin, Pastor Jonathan shared with us that we're broken over the sins of others. It bothers us, the other people's spiritual condition. Not in a righteous indignation way, but just understanding that I'm broken because I see myself in them, and I see the state where I'm at, and we both equally need Christ. And so, blessed are the poor in spirit has the idea of being meek. And blessed are they that mourn has the idea within itself to be broken. And that's in the idea of being meek. Well, another definition, a little bit easier one to grab a hold of, and these are just different nuances of this term. From Wiersbe, most people are familiar with this and understanding the basic definition of meek, is power under control. See, this term would be used oftentimes to describe an animal, particularly a horse, that has been broken. Not broken in the sense it's not good for anything, but you know, a wild horse that has been broken so that a rider can ride it and use it for work. And the spirit of the horse is still strong. It just understands the confines and the limitations in which it can operate. And so blessed are the meek, that this is a man who is angry all at the right times, but never angry at the wrong times. This is a man, a woman of God, that is power under control. And so, how are we going to unpack this? Well, number one, the meek are not weak. Don't misunderstand, blessed are the meek. See, I was struggling with at times, we see it translated as lowly, as gentle, and those are accurate translations, but they just miss it sometimes. They miss a nuance that is there. Because, see, you need to understand that to be meek is not a subservient person that is beat down and beat down and never speaks up for anything. That's not the idea that is communicated here. And so we have to look to other portions of Scripture where we see this term being used so we can get the full grasp of what it is to be meek. And so in Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, you see an admonition to seek the Lord. All you look meek of the earth who have upheld his justice, seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And so you notice the phrase, who have upheld his justice. See, to be meek is not to be beat down and not speak up. We're going to talk about the times not to speak up, but the times to speak up. The difference is I speak up and I stand up for righteousness and justice when it's on the sake of other people. We're going to talk about the lack of defending oneself and I don't have that right or that claim. But meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. And that's the part of the translation that Barclay gives, that blessed is the man who is angry at the right time. So there is a time to be angry. There is a righteous indignation. 2 Corinthians 10:1, listen to the speech from Paul. Now I, Paul myself, am pleading with you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Okay, so he's pleading with them through that meekness, but listen to where he was, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent I am bold towards you. So what Paul's saying, he's saying, when I was with you and there was a time and a place and a space that I was lowly, I was gentle. But now the Corinthian church, because of their waywardness, because of their sinfulness and their abusing the things of God, said, look, now's not that time. Both positions, both attitude of being bold yet gentle describe this characteristic, this godly characteristic of meekness. We saw this in Jesus, right? On multiple occasions, but two in particular that stand out, and sometimes people don't realize it happened twice, but it happened at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and at the end of his ministry. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, went to the house of God. And when he walked in, what did he see? He saw merchants and business people out, and they were abusing, they were taking advantage of people as they came in and as they left. They were taking advantage of the opportunity that people need to sacrifice who didn't need it. And they were just absolutely ripping people off. And what does Jesus do? And he turns them tables upside down, runs the money changers out, and he evicts their tail out of the house of God. Why did he do it? Was it because of himself? Was it because he was agitated with them? Was it because they were trying to charge him an unfair price? Was it? No, it wasn't self-induced. It wasn't based on his rights, but rather, what does he say? My house shall not be house of thieves, but rather the house of prayer. And whose house? The Father's. And so Jesus' righteous indignation at the beginning of his ministry rises up when he sees the claiming to be people of God abusing the things of God for their own advancement, for their own glory, and he gets upset and runs them off. And then what happens at the end of his ministry? He does it again. So understand the ultimate picture of meekness, and we're going to see this at the end of the sermon. The ultimate picture of meekness is the Lord Jesus, but we've got to understand meekness is not weakness. Listen, church family. We live in a day and time when social justice issues seem like they're at an all-time high and intensity. And I will not stand up here and at all declare a party for you to vote for or not vote for. I will not present some person to you, but I will simply tell you that as a born-again believer, we do have a responsibility to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. We have a responsibility. Meekness is not weakness. I'm not to defend myself, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But listen, there are plenty of social injustices, things that are going on in our world, in our nation, that too many of us are being too quiet about. And you and I, as a born-again believer, the position that we have in Christ, we need to live as a meek person, not defending ourselves, but being angry at the right time. A righteous indignation for the glory of God. But let me just say this, and we'll move on to point two. You better be very, very careful that righteous indignation isn't just a pretty label to promote self or promote your agenda. Meaning, you get upset about something this week and you label it as righteous indignation, and really, it was just to make you look holy or look good. So, number one, meekness is not weakness. The meek are not weak. Number two, the meek are teachable. The meek are teachable. And so again, we refer to this power under control and understanding of the fullness of this term. And ancient Roman scholar Quintilius said this, talking about the scholars of his day, says, no doubt the scholars of their day, no doubt they are excellent students if they weren't already convinced of their own knowledge. You know, the hardest people to teach are the ones who already know it all, right? Some of you, most of you have raised kids, and I haven't got to this stage quite yet, although we're quickly getting there. But you know, those early, mid, late teenage years, Brother Bob, where they got the world figured out, I mean, they know everything. I know, and none of us were there, right? None of us were at this stage in our life. We were spiritual. We passed this, but it's amazing to me none of you are like this preacher, I know, but there's a time in my life that I was at this stage. Okay, it's amazing to me. Once you kind of get past those teenage years, the older you live, the smarter my parents get. Oh, good gravy! Mom gets smarter every year that passes. She knew a whole lot more than what I realized. Why? Because in those teenage years, man, we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and we have got the world figured out. I guarantee you, just ask us and we'll tell you. And they're unteachable. And you know what you have to do? You try to teach them, and then my stepdad just let me get back, and boy, I'd fall flat on my face, and you know what he'd say? Boy, I told you. I told you so. Because they're unteachable. The meek are teachable. See, blessed are the poor in spirit. Understanding, I don't have anything good in and of myself. God, I have nothing to bring to the table. Anything good's going to happen in my life, I need you to do it in me and through me. And that means I need other godly believers around me that are pouring and investing into my life. I got to learn. We see this in James 1:24. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive, look, with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Listen, the word of God can teach you and correct you, rebuke you, train you. But only if you have the right spirit and sit under the teaching of the word of God. Just yesterday, our association hosted a teaching, focused on teaching event. I know we had a few that were able to go and be in attendance, heard some great things about it. It amazes me that we have volunteer teachers all across our association gave up a Saturday to go and learn to be a better, more effective teacher for their local church. That's meekness. That's understanding. I don't have all the answers. Some of them, no telling how long they have been teaching. James 3:13, later in James, he says this, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Do you realize wisdom has meekness within it? It's inherent. See, the wise don't say, "I know everything." They understand. They still got to learn. They still need to grow. That's what wisdom is. It's walking in the fear of the Lord, understanding. No matter how much I learn, I still am under the service of Christ who knows all things. And so the meek are teachable. And let me just give you a shameless plug here in case you were wondering. But every Sunday morning before this time of worship, we have a time of Bible study where all across our building, many of you attend, many of you maybe do not. We sit around the table and we read passages from the Word of God, and we discuss what that means and how it affects our life. And let me just encourage you in this. If the only time you have the Word of God, if the only time you are being teachable to the Word of God is on Sunday morning at this 10:30 to 12 o'clock hour, let me just tell you something. As a Christian, you will be malnourished. As a born-again believer, if this is the only time you're getting the Word of God, let me just be really clear that you are not getting enough to eat. And listen, I understand some of you may say that's just an indication of your preaching. But I would submit, I don't care if it was Billy Graham or Adrian Rogers standing in this pulpit preaching to me week after week, if that's the only time I got the Word of God, I would be malnourished. Listen, you need time where you're sitting around, where you're being teachable, you're learning, you're growing in the Word. So the application of this is many, you know, I don't know what's going on in your life, but get up a few minutes earlier. Come join one of our great Bible studies during our Sunday school hour. Learn the Word of God. Come back Sunday night at 5 o'clock when we teach and spend time in the Word. Come on Wednesday when the Word of God is being taught all over our campus. But listen to me. Be teachable. Get up in the morning. Open up the Word of God and say, "God, speak to me," and read the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to teach you day in and day out. And so the meek are teachable. Number three, the meek care for others. Remember, here's this idea, blessed are the poor in spirit, understanding I have nothing. Nothing good, nothing to offer. And then blessed are the mourn. They're broken over their sin. They're broken over the sins of others. Again, notice back in 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you. Listen, even though he wasn't there, he was still writing back, looking back, pleading with those people, with that church. Why? Because Paul is a poor in spirit, but he mourns over the sin. And remember, he said, I am the chief amongst all sinners. He said, in my flesh dwells nothing good. He understood he was broken over his sin. And out of that brokenness, matter of fact, if you're going through the same Sunday school material that my class is, that I'm a part of, and Kelvin does a great job teaching, and if you're a young adult, come be a part of our class. And we're walking through Galatians, and he's pleading with those at Galatia, saying, look, you know the things of God, and there's some good things, but here's where you're missing it. He's broken over the sins of others. When you're teachable and you're understanding, it's not about me, it's not about who I am, it's not about what I have, but it's about the kingdom, it's about what Christ can do in us. You begin to care about others. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Listen, this is an apologetics, it's an evangelism verse. It's a testifying of your salvation. We use this a lot to promote evangelism or promote apologetics and defending the faith. But where does this flow out of? He says at the end, with meekness and fear of the Lord. When you're meek, you care about others. It's ingrained in you. Number four, the meek are submissive to God. The meek are submissive to God. James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. It's a submission to the will and to the word of God. So here's the reality, church family. Listen to me. I know there's some weighty stuff here. We've said the meek are not weak. The meek are teachable. And the meek care for others. Here's the last thing I want you to do. I don't want you to necessarily walk away with a list of boxes to check. Say, if I do these X number of things in my life, I'm going to be meek. Because let me just be transparent with you. I've given you a whole list of things that you can't do. Oh, sure, you can show up on Sunday morning at 9:30. And you can start a page and promote socialism and social fighting for social injustices. But apart from the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit, it will be self-motivated, self-promoted. It'll be all about what you can do in your advancement of your kingdom. But when there's a genuine godly meekness in you and about you, you'll be submitted to the will of God. So how does that happen? How is it that you're submitted to the will of God day in and day out? There's two parts to it. A, submissive means you are empty of yourself. Empty of yourself. This is where the Barclay translation comes back. Blessed is the man who's angry at all the right times, but is never angry at the wrong times. The right times are when somebody's being mistreated, somebody else is being wronged, something else is going on, people are being abused. That's when a righteous indignation dwells up in me and I speak out and I am actively a part of a solution in that. However, blessed is the man who is never wrong at the, or never angry at the wrong times. When I became a Christian, and I said, God, I'm yours, all of me, I laid down every will, every goal, every ambition, everything that I thought or had about myself, I submitted it to the throne of God. And I said, God, if you can use me, Use me. Your will be done in my life. Now let me just be really clear to you this morning. If you surrender to the Lord Jesus and you're saved this morning, you may not have prayed that way, but when you surrendered to the Lordship, the bossship of Christ, that's what you did. See, because when you're a slave to Christ, my agenda no longer matters. Who I am does not matter. It's all about Him and it's about His kingdom. And so what does that mean? The right to defend my character and my lack of character goes out the door. Listen to me. Let me get down here so I can look you eyeball to eyeball. The right to defend my character or lack of character to somebody who is accusing me, attacking me, it goes out the door. Why? Because I'm not my own. The Lord Jesus is my defender. Now listen to me. This flight, some of you, I can already see it. I mean, some of you, y'all looking at me and I see the bristles on the back of your neck standing up. I mean, because this flies in the face of everything of who we are naturally, who we are in the flesh. This flies in the face of everything that our culture says. Our culture says, defend yourself, speak up for yourself. Our culture says, talk louder, talk more often, you'll get the camera and the limelight and the fame. But I'm just telling you, meekness is never being angry at the wrong times. That means that if somebody goes around the church and begins to attack me and talk about me, it's not my job nor my right to go and defend myself. Now let me be clear. If you're being a hindrance to the church, than the position that God has called me to, that's a different story. Boy, this is hard. This is tough. Now, let me also make a clarifying statement. If you are a person that is in a place or position where you're being physically or emotionally abused, hear me clearly. I am not telling you that you stay there and subject yourself to that. You get up and you make a move where you can be safe. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about somebody at your work doesn't like the color shoes that you have on, and they're telling your coworker, and you get up and you give them the what for. That's what this is talking about. Because see, the question was, do you think that you have any rights? Listen to me. Because I understand I am poor in spirit and I am a sinful, wicked man, and the only way I have any hope, help, or happiness is through the Lord Jesus, when I surrendered to Him, all my rights were laid at His feet, and He is the one that defends me. He is the one that provides. He is the one that cares for my soul. The problem is, in the church, we have it backwards. We're not loud. We're not saying anything about social injustice. We're not saying anything when things are going on. But rather, we're all about defending ourselves and defending our preferences. It may be that somebody's running their mouth about a staff member and some of us aren't saying anything, but man, if the flower arrangement gets moved 3 inches to the left, we're mad and we're getting that on the agenda. Let me get back up here for us. Listen to me, church family. Really, look at me in the face. I love you in the Lord Jesus. Let me just be real honest with you. If I get word today that somebody's talking about me, let me just be real transparent. My fleshly reaction will be, let's call them in. Let me go find them. Let me clarify. Let me help them out. But I'm telling you, that is a reaction of the flesh if it's just a defense for self. And so, submissiveness is being empty. Saying, God, I laid down all my rights, all my self-defense. Do we not see this in Mary? When the Holy Spirit, the angel showed up on Mary's door, she wasn't looking for this. And man, God is ready to work in her and says that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you're going to have this child. And she didn't ask for any of this. This was not on her agenda. She's just looking to get married. And listen to what she says. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." You know what she did? She said, "I had all these wedding plans. I had all these things lined out. I had the dress picked out, and I had the flower arrangements. I had the location. I had the invitations, all this. And man, holy cow, the Spirit of God shows up and wrecks my plans." She lays them aside, said, "According to your will." That's being empty. B, submissiveness means you are filled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, everybody hold on. I was told this week I was a little bit Babdecostal sometimes, okay? Everybody hold on. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and may even say Holy Ghost, okay? Third person of the Trinity, He's fully God. It's going to be okay, all right? But this is where sometimes as Baptists we get uncomfortable and we begin to neglect, because sometimes our charismatic brothers and sisters maybe have carried it too far where it's hyper-emotionalism and it's all about self-indulgence and promoting self. And listen, not everybody's got this wrong. We need to learn from our charismatic brothers and sisters in Christ that the Holy Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity. And my Bible does say in Ephesians 5:18, says, "Be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk in wine, in which is dispensation, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. That is a command. And it's a command to be filled and to be filled and to be filled and to be filled. So what does that mean? That means daily in Christ, I empty myself. Say, God, empty me of my will, my way, my ambitions, and ask you, Spirit of God, to fill me from the tips of my toes to the top of my head. Now listen to me. When I pray that, I don't necessarily get a tingly feeling on my left arm. My right eye doesn't begin to cry. It's not hyper-emotionalism. It's not some sensing. It is a submissiveness to the will of God. And when I'm filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is evident in my life. You hear me? So why is this relevant to meekness? I'm glad you asked. Because I told you that meekness is not weakness. Being meek is teachable. Being meek is caring for others. You can't do those things in and of your own flesh. So daily we've got to die to self, ask the Spirit of God to live in us. Then the fruits of the Spirit are evident in our life, including meekness. Because when I'm full of self, then when I hear somebody talk about me, then I begin to defend myself and attack and begin to try to promote Chris's kingdom. But man, when I'm filled with the Spirit of God and I hear somebody else being attacked and taken care of, I speak up to promote the kingdom of God. And when they're talking about me, I say, "That's okay, man. I love them anyway." What would the church look like? As a church full of filled, Spirit filled believers. You know what happened? The agenda on the business meeting would be the promotion of the things that most benefit the kingdom of God and least filled with the things that take care of self. Jesus is our ultimate example. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I wish I could read you the whole thing, but I got to quit. He said this. He said, we must finish with that self which is the cause of all our troubles, so that he who has bought us at such a price may come in and possess us wholly. Jesus is our ultimate example. And let me read to you this final passage in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What is that? That's a spirit-filled believer who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal to God. He didn't deny his deity, but made himself of no reputation. There's humility. Taking the form of a bondservant, there's submissiveness. And coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man, there is social justice right there. He is looking out saying, for the benefit of others. Notice, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is our example of meekness. He was not weak. He was teachable. Luke 2:52, he grew, he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. He cared about others. He looked at you. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was submissive to the will of God. He understood he was equal with God. He's God come in the flesh, but he came obedient, submitted himself to the will of God. And you better believe he was filled with the Spirit of God. The dove, the Spirit of God descended onto him. And so, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You want to see God use you this side of heaven in an incredible way? Become meek as Jesus did. So what does this look like? I've already given you one application. Come, enroll in Sunday school. Challenge you in this. And if you're taking notes, I know some of you have already put them up. I said the last point. I got you something else. Take out your note and do this. I want you to write this. I know it. Were you ever in class and the professor, you finished up and you put all your things away, and then the professor asks you to get something back out, and you think, oh, he's just going to say it quick. I'm not going to get it back out. And then he just waits. I'm going to just wait. Ask God. Will you commit to this for 1 week? Ask God every day this week before you start your day. Spend time in prayer saying, God, empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit today. And every time, do it every day. Matter of fact, every time you feel yourself welling up to defend yourself, or you see yourself shrinking back when you see something wrong done to others and you're not speaking up, pray that again. God, empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit. For 1 week, I'm asking you to spend time and submit before God, that you may live a life filled by the Spirit this week. And then know this. This week, somebody's going to talk about you. Somebody's going to try to assassinate your character. Speak blessing instead of cursing. Don't defend self. Allow God to do that. And when you see somebody else is wrong, talking about somebody at your work, Talking about somebody in our church, in a loving Christ-like way. If it's in our church, somebody's talking about, say, hey, sister, hey, brother, I love you in the Lord, but this is Second Baptist Church, this is God's church, and we don't talk like that here. You imagine what our church looked like then? Say, preacher, well, they may leave. Bless their heart. I love them in Jesus' name. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for today.